Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see so many people in church this morning. It's great to be back as well. Just before I start this morning, if you want to pick up some notes for the message this morning, you can go into the YouVersion app.
Go with this? Excellent. Yeah, if you want some notes for this morning's message, you can go into the YouVersion app. If you click events, you'll see Found Church, and you can pick up the notes from there. Just remember to hit save, or they will go when you come out the app. I'm going to pray just before we start this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this room this morning. As I come to speak now, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'd help me to stand aside and allow you to direct my words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week we started a new sermon series called Ignited, A Journey with the Holy Spirit. In this series, we're diving into the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, his purpose, his power, and how he works in our lives. How he guides us, empowers us, and transforms us from the inside out. And all throughout Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit moving. Stephen did a great job last week of going through every single book in Scripture and outlining just one part from each book, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I think it would be, if we were being honest, we would say we at times struggle to fully understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he operates. And as we go through this series, we want to open our hearts to him. And we want to see that the Holy Spirit isn't some distant force. He's the very presence of God with us. So this morning, my prayer is that we'll lean in, we'll seek him, and we'll step into all that he has for us on this journey. Now, I've often joked about the amount of jobs that I've had. When I was in school, I'd be telling young people about different careers, and we counted up the jobs I did in my part-time jobs, full-time jobs, jobs in my spare time, and we counted about 23 different jobs. Now, some were great, others not so much, but all of them gave me stories to tell. And just like those jobs taught me lessons, I believe that the Holy Spirit teaches us powerful lessons, especially when it comes to revealing things in our lives that need to change. So one of these really grand jobs that I had was to work as a window cleaner. And there was times where, I remember on a Friday night, we had six houses to do in Arnott Hill, big houses overlooking what was the old hospital. And the person that I worked with, he would do the upstairs windows and I'd do the downstairs on a smaller ladder. And I was Friday night, probably had other things that I'd like to have been doing at the age I was. And I used this massive like sponge and squeegee. And there was a huge window at the bottom of this house. So it's Friday night, I'm not doing anything else. So off I went, big D-A-V-I-D. And then I'd go back over that, and then I'd go through it again and write my name. And then I would take my squeegee and I'd go along the window. And as I did that, there was a woman sitting on the couch in the window in the living room looking at me writing my name. She was laughing, thankfully. There was not an issue with that. Or another time I was in Lochreen, and I used to use just a small A-frame ladder. Just quickly, if I needed to get the top of a window, do that and move on. And there was some kind of birthday party. There was people arriving at this house. And I'm doing this corner window. And I've got the A-frame here. And I'm stretching that way. But my ladder went that way. And there's people watching me in the house. And off I went into a bush at the side of the house. I could hear them laughing. I could hear them speaking about where did the window cleaner go? Do you know, we did a big old house that had become a funeral home down in Ladies Mill. and there was a huge window on the front. And I was doing the inside, didn't often go in, but went to the inside of the window. And I completed that, thought it was great. And then as the guy came in just to check, he was looking. And at the time he came in, the sun came through the clouds. And what I thought was really, really clean was very clearly not very clean at all. There was streaks, there was marks, there was all sorts of things on the window. The sun had shone through the window and just showed everything. See, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We might think that we're doing well, living right, making good choices, but when the Holy Spirit shines His light, He reveals things we never noticed before. The sins that we justify, the attitudes that we overlook, the habits we excuse, they become clearer when God brings them into the light. And just like I had to go back and fix my cleaning, we need the Holy Spirit to work in us and remove the things that don't belong. And as much as I joke about having so many jobs, I've had quite a few cars as well. I know there's a few car people here, that there's nothing really that exciting like Ford Fiesta, Ford Escort, Ford Galaxy, Renault Clio, Renault Megane Scenic, Renault Grand Espace, all those things. I had a Saab 9-3. It was the first kind of real car that I had. And it went great and it drove amazing and it was all great until one day this, just as one small light on the dash came on. For those of you that are car people, it was the engine management light. The light that nobody ever wants to see. See, I prefer a banging or a knocking in my car. Volume up on the stereo, carry on regardless. That's how I would deal with car maintenance. But you see, the car knew better because after I ignored it for a few weeks, it then started going into limp home mode. Couldn't go above 30 or 40 miles an hour. And then I had to do something about it. See, when you think about that, the light itself wasn't the problem. The light was a warning sign. It was a signal telling me that there was something wrong under the bonnet. And when I ignored it, that's when the car took action. See, the Holy Spirit works in the same way. He convicts us not to condemn us, but to alert us when something in our life needs attention. See, that guilty feeling when we gossip or that unease when we compromise, that nudge when we neglect time with God, it's the Holy Spirit's warning light urging us to get things checked before we break down completely. The question is this morning, do we listen or do we keep driving, hoping that the problem will just go away? See, there are some things that we can't see until something reveals them. When I was younger, I had a lot of issues with my knees. I had knee pain, and I tried to explain to my parents that I had knee pain and there was something wrong, and they pretty much says, just keep it till it gets better. I'm sure you're fine, all that kind of stuff. And I was at Falkirk High School. My mum worked at Falkirk High School, so I would get a lift in the morning to school. I never had to face Mrs. Seal at the window like Stephen did when he was late all the time. I was on time. But eventually, there's one morning, I'm running down the stair, and the thing I was talking about with my knee happened, and it buckled, and I kind of fell off the bottom of the stair. And at that point, my mum said, "Oh, is there something wrong with your knee?" Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that. I was then playing football another time. I was walking home and I could feel something in my foot and it was like, that feels sore. Like there's something going on there. Again, explained to my parents. I was like, well, let's see how it is in the morning. But it needed attention. So we went to A&E the next day and I'd been in and out of A&E so many times playing football and all the rest of it. And you always wanted them to tell you were going to get an x-ray. Because if you didn't get to the x-ray, you were getting a bit of tubby grip and you're getting a pat on the back and you're getting sent up the road. But on that day, I got an x-ray. And when I got an x-ray, it said that there was a bone broken in my foot. See, the x-ray didn't cause my broken foot. It just revealed what was already there. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't create our sin. He simply exposes what's already there. so that we can get the healing and the restoration that we need. Imagine if I had refused the x-ray. Well, given I've said I really wanted one, it wasn't going to happen. But if I had refused it, and if I just walked away, keep on limping, keep having the pain, pretending that I was fine, I would only make things much worse. The same is true spiritually. If we ignore what the Holy Spirit has shown us, we don't get better. We stay broken. But if we let him reveal the truth, we can receive healing, we can receive forgiveness, and we can see a real transformation. Today I'm going to look at the Holy Spirit's role in salvation. And by that, we're talking about being saved, we're being rescued by God for the consequences of our wrongdoing. And I want to look at three things: conviction itself, salvation, and sanctification. Now, don't worry about those words, because I'm going to explain them as we go through. Scripture for this morning is John 16, verses 7 to 15. It says this: "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So the first thing I'd like to pick up from those verses is that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. John 16:8 said, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." See, the Holy Spirit is actively at work in the process of conviction and regeneration. The Holy Spirit is not just a gentle comforter. He is the divine revealer, shining light on the darkness hidden within the human heart. The conviction the Holy Spirit brings is not about condemnation, but it's about awakening us to our need for salvation. The first role that the Holy Spirit would play in conviction is to expose sin for what it truly is. And without the Spirit, people would often define sin on cultural norms or personal opinions, making moral comparisons. But the Holy Spirit reveals sin as a rebellion against God's holiness and a rejection of his Son. Many people think that sin is just your outward actions, telling lies or stealing or some kind of immorality, but the Spirit reveals that sin is much deeper. It's rooted in the heart's posture of independence from God. There's a verse in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 in the Message Bible just hits it right on the head for that. It says this: "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be." See, the Holy Spirit's conviction is like the sunlight revealing streaks on a window. It's like the check engine light in our car, alerting us to an issue, an internal issue that needs to be addressed. You think through the idea of the x-ray. The hidden condition, in my case, it was a broken bone, but the hidden condition representing sin, something harming us spiritually, even if we don't recognize it. The x-ray itself represents the work of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't create the sin. He exposes it, allowing us to see our true condition. And the pain we feel is like the guilt or the emptiness that conviction brings. It's a symptom of a deeper issue. meant to drive us towards healing. But again, here is the key. The x-ray doesn't heal. It's the doctor that does that. Likewise, the Holy Spirit's conviction doesn't exist to condemn us, but to point us and lead us to Jesus. It says in John 16:9, of sin because they do not believe in me. Jesus clarifies the core of sin. At its root, all sin stems from unbelief, failing to trust and honor or submit to Christ. The Holy Spirit exposes unbelief so that we can recognize our need for a Savior. In Romans 3:23, we read that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Spirit helps us see that sin isn't just about bad behavior. It's about falling short of God's perfect standard. See, if the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, convicting us of sin, it forces a decision. Do we ignore it and justify our actions? Or will we respond with repentance and faith? Will we turn from what we're doing and turn towards Jesus for forgiveness? See, conviction itself through the Holy Spirit is a work of grace, not condemnation. For people who don't believe, conviction is an act of grace, drawing hearts towards Jesus Christ, not to condemn them, but to save them. For those who do believe, conviction is not a sign of failure. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is actively working, refining us to be more like Jesus. Author Kevin DeYoung says this, it's the testimony of almost all saints that as they get closer to God, they see more of their ungodliness. It's normal to feel less holy as you become more holy. Being more aware of sin in your life usually is a sign of the Spirit's sanctifying work, not a sign of His withdrawal. C.S. Lewis kind of cuts to the chase a little bit quicker. He says, it's when we notice the dirt that God is most present within us. See, conviction is God's love in action, leading us away from sin and towards holiness. It's not about living under guilt, but about responding to God, His loving correction, turning from our ways, and living a life of faith. Now, in amongst all those jobs that I was talking about, and a lot of people know this, but I came from a police background, and if I thought about conviction in that circumstance, it would be a legal conviction. And it's good to compare the two, because if we think about a legal conviction in a courtroom, the legal conviction means guilt is proven based on evidence, leading to punishment. The goal is justice, ensuring the person pays for the wrongdoing. Holy Spirit conviction reveals guilt, not just based on actions, but on the condition of the heart. Instead of punishment, though, it calls us to repentance and grace. Legal conviction leads to a prison sentence. The Holy Spirit's conviction leads to freedom in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So the first part the Holy Spirit plays in salvation is a conviction of sin. The second would be this, that in salvation itself, the Holy Spirit seals us with God. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So it's good for us to hear this morning that salvation, being saved, is not about self-improvement. It's not about making ourselves better people. See, when we trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes us new. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. John 3:5-6, Jesus said, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Becoming a Christian is not about becoming a better person. God doesn't just make us better. He makes us brand new. Just you think about a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It becomes a brand new thing. Doesn't go back to being a caterpillar. It's a brand new creation. And just as a butterfly can never return to being a caterpillar, a true believer is forever changed by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:24, we read to put on the new self. About 20 years ago, we had a holiday at the Spring Harvest holiday camp in Les Pas-Optons in France. And there was an optional morning devotion. It was about an hour in the morning, and there was someone teaching for the whole week. And I can remember this guy talking. He talked through Ephesians over the week, and he got to this part here. And he explained this, and before we get there, I'm not going to do what he did. But he explained that when we put on the new self, it wouldn't be like getting a new shirt and just putting it over this shirt that I'm wearing just now. And he actually took his shirt off to explain this. I'm not going there this morning. I thought about it, and then I thought better of it. But if you can imagine that, putting on the new self is taking off the old one, and the new one is completely different to what it was before. We're not just covering up the old life. We're not just doing something that looks a bit different. It is completely new. Forever changed by the Holy Spirit. Not returning to the life that we once had, but moving forward in Christ. The Holy Spirit seals us and secures us. It's salvation. The Holy Spirit seals us, marking us as God's own and securing our eternity. Ephesians 1:13 says, when you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. In 2 Corinthians 1:21, God has put his seal on us, given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So when the Holy Spirit seals us, when we believe in Jesus, it means in terms of ownership, we now belong to God. In terms of security, our salvation is eternal. And the promise we have is that the Holy Spirit guarantees that God will fulfill his word. See, salvation is not just a one-time event. It's the beginning of a lifelong transformation. In Titus 3:5, we read, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 1:6, we read, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So this morning, we need to be sure. Salvation is a work of God. It's not our self-effort. It's not about self-improvement. Salvation isn't about trying harder. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in sin. It is by grace you have been saved. So let me ask a few questions this morning. Have you experienced true spiritual rebirth, or are you just trying to improve yourself? Do you trust that you are sealed in Christ, or do you live in fear that you're going to lose your salvation? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to renew and transform you on a daily basis? Salvation is God's work from start to finish. The Holy Spirit convicts people who are in sin. He regenerates those who believe. He seals and secures us in Christ, and he renews us daily. If the Holy Spirit has begun his work in you, you can trust that he will complete it. Final thing this morning is this, that the Holy Spirit sanctifies the believer. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I said we'd explain the words I said earlier, sanctification. But sanctification is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, transforming believers to reflect Christ's character. Unlike justification, which happens instantly at salvation, sanctification is a lifelong journey of spiritual growth. That's it. Sanctification in its simplest form is being changed or conformed to be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus in our words and in our deeds. Last weekend I was in Callander and I was in Aviemore, and I can't remember where I saw this particular thing, but it was a sculpture of an eagle, but it was attached to the trunk that it had been carved out of. One of you might have seen it somewhere. It was either Callander or Aviemore, I can't remember. But I was wondering, Aviemore, there we go. So I was wondering though, how did they manage to do that? Because the trunk was the stand that it was on, but it had just been carved out that one piece of wood. And if you think of a sculptor working on a block of marble, the masterpiece is already within the stone. But the sculptor must chip away at the imperfections to reveal it. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is chipping away everything in us that doesn't look like Jesus. Moment by moment, just taking another bit of the masterpiece. The masterpiece is already there, but we just need that work of the Holy Spirit to chip away at us daily to bring it to fruition. See, sanctification isn't about self-effort, but relying on the Holy Spirit's power to overcome sin. See, trying to live the Christian life on your own strength is like paddling against a strong current. It's exhausting and it's ineffective. But when you yield to the Holy Spirit, it's like raising a sail and letting the wind carry you forward. Can you see the difference in that? The first one's about striving. The first one is ineffective. The first one is exhausting. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit's power, it's like opening our sails and allowing the wind to take us to where we need to be. See, victory over sin doesn't come from trying harder, but from surrendering more fully to the Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit transforms our desires. This means that sanctification is more than just avoiding sin. It means developing a heart that longs for God. See, the more time that we spend in God's presence, the more time we spend in His Word and prayer, the more our desires align with His. The Holy Spirit is gradually refining us so that Christ's light shines through our lives more clearly. So this morning I would say, don't be discouraged by slow progress. God is still at work in you. Just a few things before I finish about how we can walk in the Holy Spirit's sanctifying power. First thing would be this, surrender daily. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in thoughts and actions and decisions. We had our life group this week and there was part in there where there was a prayer that we could say daily. And we shared this within the group and it's this, Jesus, to the best of my knowledge, I surrender my life to you. Would you please fill me with your Holy Spirit? Take control of my life and empower me to serve you. As I come to you and drink, I ask you to fulfill your promise and fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And I've encouraged our group to be praying that every day. Second thing would be stay in the Word. The Holy Spirit uses Scripture to renew your mind. We can pray for growth. Sanctification is God's work, but we need to desire it. We need to seek His power in our life. And the last thing would be surround yourself with other believers. The Spirit uses community to sharpen us. So the Christian life isn't about self-improvement. It's about a Spirit-led transformation. The question is, are you yielding to the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work? Will you let Him shape you, empower you, and transform you from glory to glory? I just invite the band to come back now. See, as we've heard today, the Holy Spirit is actively at work, convicting our hearts, guiding us into truth, and glorifying Jesus. His presence is not distant or passive. He's here right now, speaking to our hearts in this very moment.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.